There are two scripture lessons this morning. The first comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 21. Listen now for the word of God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then this reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was talking with a group of minister colleagues on Zoom this past week, and one of them told us about a question he heard recently on a podcast. If Jesus walked into your home or into your church right now, what is the first question you would ask him? The podcast speaker said in reply to this question, "This is probably going to seem like an unfaithful answer, but it is the first question that came to my mind. If Jesus walked up to me right now, my first question would be, where have you been? You have been really quiet lately, God. What are you doing? For so many years, I have seen God's hand on my life and active in the world, but right now, I feel like I need a reminder that God will never forsake us, that God is still here, because times are hard, and I am struggling to find you, God, in the midst of the struggle." This question is such a human cry in the midst of trouble and pain, in the midst of an experience of exile of one kind or another. Where have you been? Are you there, God? What are you doing? I have heard versions of this question from many of you, and I have asked a version of this question myself at times over this past long difficult year. In so many ways, this past year has been a season of exile for all of us across our world. A global pandemic forced us into isolation from one another and from so many of the activities that give us joy, that allow us to see the beauty and wonder of life lived in community with one another. The pandemic has also caused economic devastation for so many of our neighbors, for so many small and even larger businesses, and particularly for those who can least afford any additional economic hardship. And we feel the pain of our struggling neighbors. And in addition to the pandemic troubles, this past year has also been filled with racial injustices leading to protests. Those injustices have called each one of us to self-examination, to look at our own prejudices, to confess them and repent of them, to look at the structural racism around us and recognize the hard work we need to do together to build a more just and equitable community for all of God's children. In this past year, the political divisions in our nation have led to deepening distrust and even hostility among us, resulting in emotional and spiritual separation from one another, in addition to the physical separation of the pandemic. So many of you have told me, "I am just so tired. I am weary of all the physical separation and isolation, and I am weary of all the division between us. I feel exhausted by it all. Social distancing, masks, virtual or hybrid school, or the daily effort of keeping teachers and children safe for in-person school, Zoom meetings. I'm so weary of Zoom meetings." Some of you have talked about the stress of spending so much time at home with a house filled with children you love, or spending so much time with your spouse, sharing all the love and all the irritations that come with spending so much time together in close quarters. Others of us know the stress of spending so much time alone in our homes with no other human being to break the silence and the loneliness. The nightly news overwhelms us with its litany of national and global troubles, and so many of us turn to Netflix or Disney Plus or some other streaming opportunity to get away from the troubles we see on the nightly news. It truly does feel as if we are in a kind of exile, and the question that rises in us from time to time in the midst of this difficult season is a very human one. Where are you in the midst of all of this, God? What are you doing? The passage from the prophet Isaiah today comes at a time near the end of Israel's exile in Babylon. For over 50 years, they have lived away from the promised land, taken away from the southern kingdom of Judah, hauled off into captivity in the Babylonian Empire, forced away from their homes, their temple, often separated from family and friends. After 50 years, hope for deliverance had waned. The people began to lament and say, "My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God." Isn't that simply another way of asking the question, "Where have you been, God? You have been really quiet lately. What are you doing?" And then into the midst of this time of exile, of fainting hearts and faltering steps and weakened faith, of longing for restoration and redemption, comes the voice of God. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and grow weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God's voice breaks into their weariness and exhaustion, into their faltering faith, and delivers a promise. I have not left you. I am with you, even here, even now, in the midst of this exile. I am here to offer you my strength when yours is failing. Remember, it has always been this way from the foundations of the earth. I delivered you from slavery in Egypt. I was with you as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night as you wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. I made covenant to be your God. I gave you the law as a guide. I delivered you into the promised land, gave you a home, and made you into a people, blessed to be a blessing to all the earth. I gave you kings to rule over you. I sent prophets to call you back when you wandered away from faithfulness. I have been with you here in Babylon these 50 years, and now I am coming to bring you home. Chapter 40 of Isaiah begins with these words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the rough places a plain." It is a word of hope, of promised deliverance. Your exile is ending. I am bringing you home, and I will be with you every step of your journey. I am a present God. Where have I been? I have been right here with you, strengthening you, upholding you. I have been your companion in exile. And now I am leading you home. As Christians, we know that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, Jesus, to take on our human flesh and live among us, to walk with us as a companion in both the joys and the pains of human life, as he led us towards salvation and the new life promised in him. In Mark's passage today, we find Jesus in very intimate acts of healing and restoration with Peter's mother-in-law and with other sick and demon-possessed people in Galilee. We see a God of compassion and deep concern for every single one of God's children, so in need of a Savior, so in need of restoration from their own personal exiles. These two passages together remind us that God is with us in the grand sweeping seasons of trouble and pain and exile, even in the midst of global and national crisis. God is present at work, bringing about redemption and new life, reminding us that our God can be trusted, that God is always in the business of redemption, of healing, of resurrection, even when the world feels so out of control and the problems around us feel so overwhelming that they threaten to drown us. God is at work, redeeming, healing, making all things new, leading us out of exile into the new world. God is already at work, creating all around us. It has always been so, God reminds us, from the moment of creation until this very moment today. And God is also with us in the small, intimate, mundane needs of our daily lives, in our individual experiences of grief, illness, turmoil, fear, doubt, despair. God is there, bringing healing in all of the many ways that we may need healing, bringing reconciliation when we are separated one from another, bringing mercy, grace, forgiveness, hope, and the small resurrections to new life that happen every single day in each one of our lives and in the world. Where has Jesus been? He has been right here, beside us, offering us healing, mercy, grace, peace, justice, hope, and redemptive love. In the passage from Isaiah, God tells the doubting and overwhelmed people of Israel in the midst of their exile that if they will simply lift up their eyes, they will see God all around them. When Jesus bends over Peter's mother-in-law, her healing comes when she lifts up her eyes and sees Jesus, takes him by the hand, and then rises up and returns to her vocation of service in the strength of his love and his healing power. God reminds us in the passage from Isaiah that sometimes we must wait to see the full revealing of God's redemptive power at work in the midst of trouble and pain. And while we wait for its full revealing, God and Christ call us to wait for the Lord, trusting that God is already at work, creating the new life that is on the other side of healing, on the other side of exile. There is one last thing it is important to say this morning. When God calls us to wait for the Lord, God is not calling us to a passive waiting. Peter's mother-in-law had to look up and see Jesus. She had to take his hand and then rise from her bed and go back to her vocation in serving in order to receive the fullness of her healing. The people of Israel had to look up in the midst of their exile and see the evidence of their God at work all around them. And then they had to move their feet in the direction of home. They had to be participants in their own restoration. I want to tell you all today that in the midst of this season of exile in our own world, when I remember to lift up my eyes, I see God at work all around me. And most often, I see God at work through all of you. I see you bringing food to the food pantry to fill our blessing boxes, to feed our neighbors who are struggling to put food on their family tables. I see you bringing socks or making hygiene kits to help our unsheltered homeless neighbors stay warmer and more comfortable on the streets. I see you preparing lunches and dinners for Highlands United Methodist Church and First Light and Food for Our Journey to feed our homeless neighbors. I see you contributing money to our IPC social service account so that we can help our neighbors who have lost jobs pay their rent and keep their utilities on and pay medical bills. I have seen you making Christmas stockings and snack bags for 170 children who are struggling to continue learning with no choice but virtual education in neighborhoods of poverty. I have seen the teachers of our congregation courageously going to classrooms each day to teach children and youth and young people in person. I have seen our medical workers courageously treating patients and putting themselves at risk every single day. I have seen parents finding creative ways to keep their children from feeling so isolated. I have seen you helping the church staff think creatively about how to care for our congregation and stay connected as a community, even as we are physically distant from one another. I have seen you making phone calls, delivering care packages, hosting Zoom classes and meetings, writing notes, sitting outside, socially distanced and masked, but in person to stay in touch with each other. I have seen you doing virtual tutoring for our STAIR children or virtual catechesis of the Good Shepherd for our IPC children. I have seen you delivering disaster supplies for our neighbors affected by the recent tornadoes. I have seen you gathering to knit and to pray. I have seen you worshiping and teaching on computer screens. In all these ways, and in every act of kindness and creativity, and in every quiet act of perseverance in the world out there, I have seen God at work in the world. When I remember to lift up my eyes, I see you. And through you, I see our present God accomplishing the work of healing, redemption, comfort, mercy, compassion, and hope in the midst of this time of exile and trouble and pain we are all corporately experiencing together. I see our God urging us all on toward the new thing God is doing in our midst, which will one day be revealed in all its glorious fullness. Maybe we have to wait to see it in its glorious fullness, but God asks us to trust that He is working a new thing among us, even here, even now, even in the midst of these hard days. Christian author Frederick Buechner wrote in his book, Telling Secrets, "So to wait for Christ to come in His fullness is not just a passive thing, a pious, prayerful, churchly thing. On the contrary, to wait for Christ to come in His fullness is above all else to act in Christ's stead as fully as we know how. To wait for Christ is as best we can be Christ. To wait for Christ as best as we can be Christ to those who need us to be Christ to them, and to bring them the most we have of Christ's healing and hope, because unless we bring it, it may never be brought at all." I suspect that if Jesus were to walk up to us today in this sanctuary or in your home, and we were to ask Him, "Where have you been?" He might just say to us, "Lift up your eyes and look all around you. If you will just lift up your eyes and look, you will see me at work everywhere through the people who are my body in the world." And better yet, if we ask Jesus where He has been, He just might tell us to take a look in the mirror. If we do not see the eyes of Christ shining faintly inside our own eyes, the fault is not in Christ, but in those of us who call ourselves His disciples. Yes, we are enduring a kind of exile in this season of our lives, and there is so much work to be done. Work of healing, of mercy, of compassion, of reconciliation, of rebuilding community in our city, our nation, our world, even here in our own church. When the people of Judah returned to Jerusalem after the exile, they returned to a homeland in tatters, a temple destroyed, homes and communities that needed rebuilding. And when faced with that daunting task, they lifted up their eyes and they looked in the faces of their neighbors and they joined hands and set about the work of rebuilding with the strength of the present God, helping them to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Friends, one day soon, this pandemic will end and our exile will end, and we will have work to do. Where will God in Christ be in our communities, in our world, and in our church when we need restoration, rebuilding, and reconciliation and resurrection? Our present God will be with us, calling us to lift up our eyes and look into each other's faces and to join hands with one another and to set about that work together. You have already been doing that work. Like the people of Israel, we have a long way to go until we get to God's kingdom, to our own promised land. So let's join hands and get to work. Our present God will be right there beside us all the way, with the strength of God in Christ at work within us and among us. We will, God promises us, mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. And together, with our present God by our side, and hand in hand with one another, and all of God's beloved children, we will make it home. So God has promised. So it will be. Thanks be to God. Amen.